When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer.
Your boy Dan Wiederer was on the radio last week with Speaks. Mm-hmm.
Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
First half, I think it was 320-4 in total yardage. How do you wrap your brains around how lopsided that was?
I don't. Got a bus kick.
First half struggles have been a consistent issue all year. How do you wrap your brain around the slow starts?
Yeah. Exactly what TB said. I think we had the answer. We would have solved it by now.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod.
Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
Yes, he does talk football with you. And he joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. Our segment is being brought to you by Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Dan, I got to tell you, man, your piece in the Tribune today was outstanding. So in-depth, well-sourced. You're asking all the right questions, and you're getting a lot of interesting answers. As you're putting this piece together, what is the idea behind it? And what revelations even shocked you?
Yeah, well, thanks for saying that, Lawrence. I think when you go into reporting a piece like this, it starts with everything that was happening the weekend of Thanksgiving. You know, the Bears come out of that loss in Ford Field. Matt Eberflus is fired the next day, and the entire league is starting to try to take inventory on what the direction of the franchise is. And so that franchise has to ask itself some very difficult questions about where they want to go with things, how they want to get there, and how they're going to be perceived by people outside the building that are looking at the opportunity at Halas Hall as something they may want to pursue. And so I think some of that was just trying to figure out what all goes into this very high stakes decision that this organization has coming up here in a few weeks, and how do they get there? I think, you know, you're on this tightrope if you're the Bears trying to get across to a healthier time while needing to understand that some of the outside questions and outside scrutiny that people have about you is something you have to do internally to make sure that you put yourself in position to succeed. Because guys, you guys know as well as I do that too often in the past, they have not set themselves up for success and then been surprised by the failure that's followed.
Dan, let me echo Lawrence and let me tell anybody who has a Chicago Tribune or would like to have one or go online, it is worth reading, as your stuff always is. But
truly is.
Oh, my God. There's some stuff in here. Lawrence, you mentioned before the show the Nate Davis stuff. Davis had been known around the building for more than a year as a, quote, always something, unquote, guy and a poor teammate. This is before it explodes with him deciding not to play because he had a bad back against the New England Patriots. But this sentence, I got to ask you about this. It didn't help that Poles signed Davis despite in-house warnings from the coaching staff that he had a reputation for being apathetic and lacking the kind of football passion Poles normally gravitates towards. Oh, my God. Now, we heard that there was stuff out of Tennessee, but in-house warnings to Nate Davis? So there was somebody at Halas Hall who knew this stuff from Tennessee? Is that how we're supposed to read
Correct.
That?
Yes, correct. There was somebody that had been with Nate in Tennessee that kind of issued those warnings, and they went unheeded. And Spiegs, that's so significant on such a grand level, because it's not just a big miss in free agency. And I've brought this up a couple times here in the last month, where there's this butterfly effect of what happens because Nate Davis is not reliable. And we all know what preceded the calamity at Ford Field, and it was a sack that Caleb Williams took with 32 seconds to go when Larry Borum didn't react to the snap and got beat badly by Za'Darius Smith, and then Caleb Williams is engulfed, and then chaos breaks loose. Well, Larry Borum is your next man up at right tackle because your, you know, August swing tackle, Matt Pryor, has moved inside to play right guard because Nate Davis is no longer around. And the guy that you had as the next man up for Nate Davis, Ryan Bates, has been hurt all year. And the swing tackle that you drafted in April that you thought could be an answer for you as a developmental, you know, player and depth piece during the 2024 season, Karan Amagaji, hasn't been healthy all year because he came into the league recovering from quad surgery. And so there are these ripple effects that happen sometimes that seems like just a small, you know, pebble into the ocean, but it causes an earthquake. And you see how some of these missteps can have massive ramifications. And I think the Bears have to understand how difficult it is to, one, succeed in this league, and two, to sustain success in this league before they're ever going to have a chance to put their puzzle together in the right way. And that's just one small example of how small errors can lead to huge, huge failures.
Yeah, and I wonder too, like, if you go back to how a lot of Bears fans are feeling at the end of Hard Knocks and all of that hope and how it feels like things are moving in the right direction, I don't know, outside of Caleb, if anyone had a higher Q rating at that point than Ryan Poles. How have we gotten here, Dan, where you're writing a piece that, you know, I know that wasn't your intent. I know you're not out here just slamming Ryan Poles, but the evidence that you present is so damning, and we've gone from highest Q rating we've ever seen with a GM who didn't win a Super Bowl to now people going, can they move forward with him as the GM?
This is a very thin line, and it's a very thin line league. And I think you have to have that awareness before you're ever going to find a path to success. I mean, you guys would probably agree that if the Bears had been even bad instead of horrific over these last 7 weeks, say they had just gone 2-5 and they're 6-7 right now, how different the tone of the season would be, how different the vision of the season would be. You'd be 6-7, you'd be going to play a division opponent with a chance to keep your playoff hopes alive, and everyone would feel a little bit of hope still there. All you needed to do was win two of the last seven. You lost all seven of them, and that's where you are right now. And so you just have to be careful, because, you know, every little misstep can cause you to get closer to the edge of the cliff. And the Bears, unfortunately, have found their way there again this season. And so now you use the word there, Lawrence, that I think is important: direction, right? And there's an undeniable direction problem with this franchise right now. There's nobody that can dispute that at this point. So the question becomes, what are you going to do about it? Who's going to be the person to change the direction, and how are they going to do it? And I would hope that from the very top of this organization, that's ownership and Kevin Warren, they are taking a daily look and evaluation into how did we get here and how are we going to turn this thing around? Because if you don't have those answers and you're just taking these blind leaps of faith, like they've asked Chicago to do so many times over the year, then you're just perpetually lost. And unfortunately for 12 seasons on the beat, that's where the Bears have existed for most of my time.
Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune is with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Got to point out another thing that you have in this column, because the Matt Eberflus hire is brutal, and the Shane Waldron hire by Matt Eberflus as rubber stamped by Ryan Poles is absolutely awful. We were struck when we went back and heard Matt Eberflus say this about Shane Waldron the day that they announced his hiring.
Shane's a fabulous teacher, has a wonderful offensive mind, got great passion and enthusiasm for the game. His leadership skills are dynamic, and we're excited to bring him in. And he's done nothing but shown us that since he's been here.
Yeah, so that's staggering to hear Matt Eberflus say that Shane Waldron's leadership skills are dynamic.
He calls him an elite teacher.
Yeah, it's incredible. In this one, he called him an elite teacher in this piece. And Ryan Poles told the Tribune last spring, and I forgot this, quote, "Through the interview process, I was blown away by his communication skills with us." Shane Waldron's communication skills. And we later find out what we found out. How can Bears fans trust that Ryan Poles can get a hire right after Eberflus and Waldron are his responsibility?
It's a $10 million question right now, Spiegs. It really is. It is what do you trust and why? And so, like, this is honestly, it's a choose your own adventure for Kevin Warren to figure out what he wants to do about this. Does he want to continue guiding Ryan toward this next decision? Does he want to figure out what candidates are looking at this organization as and figuring out from there, what do we need to do? There's a lot of different things that you have to consider and truly scrutinize to get this right. And even when you have good processes, getting a head coach right is almost as hard as getting a quarterback right in this league. You guys see it every year. There's 8, 9, 10 openings, and 4 years down the road, only like 2 or 3 of those guys are still in those jobs, you know? And so even if you're doing things completely properly, it's hard to get it right. When you're not doing things properly, it's really easy to get it wrong. And so we've been living that life for a really long time. And now you've got to figure out internally inside the building that I'm sitting in right now, what do we trust about Ryan Poles to add wisdom and guidance and foresight to this decision going forward? And if you don't have a really convicted answer on what that is, then I don't know what you do.
Do you think the McCaskies and Kevin Warren should be concerned about a possible strong head coaching candidate being worried about Ryan Poles' skills and his job security, frankly? Like, does the look of that power structure freak out a strong head coach candidate?
Freak out is too strong, but it's going to create questions. And so that's what was very consistent with people I talked to, again, starting the day after Thanksgiving, you know, the Friday night of Thanksgiving weekend, people were already asking those questions. What does this look like in 2025? What is there inside the building to sign up for? And what does it look like going forward? And so the Bears have to answer those questions for the people that come asking them. They don't need to answer them for us right now. But when they start casting their nets and start conducting their interviews and start doing their preliminary searches and getting deeper into their own search, those questions better have very clear-cut answers. Otherwise, there are, I can tell you, there are going to be candidates that say, thanks for reaching out. I'm going to explore some other opportunities, and maybe our paths will cross again someday up the road.
When it comes to you, and you kind of brought it up, the idea of Warren being a mentor for Poles, And that's really valuable, and I imagine that Kevin takes that very seriously. Like, him having to weigh whether or not to continue to mentor Poles inside of this job. He can still mentor him outside of the job, but inside of this job versus what it might mean to the quality of candidate that you could go and get to try and fill your head coaching position. That's a hard thing to try and work through if you're the Bears president.
There's no question, you know, and we're 2 weeks removed from the firing of Matt Eberflus. So you've had 2 weeks now to use what is a pretty vast network, if you're Kevin Warren, to kind of get your feelers out there and find out what the perceptions of this place are and what concerns you need to alleviate going forward. Look, like, is it reasonable to give Ryan Poles more rope? Sure. Is it reasonable to give him the opportunity to hire a second head coach? Absolutely. Happens a lot in this league where a general manager gets a second crack at hiring a head coach, but you can't just do that just because, you know, you have to do it, one, with confidence that you can trust his judgment, and two, with an understanding that he can choose the right person, and you want to have the belief in that because there's hard evidence that he's capable of choosing the right person, right? Because he's told you, here are the missteps I made in the hiring of Matt. Here are the missteps I made in the hiring of Shane. Here's how we're going to make the process a little bit better to marry up this next leader with what I believe this locker room truly needs at this moment in time, what this quarterback truly needs at this moment in time. And those conversations have to be really detailed. They have to be really exhaustive. They have to be really thorough, and they have to be really convincing, because if they're not convincing and you just do what they've done so many times over the last 4 decades, where you just go, okay, whatever, let's try it, and then you give it the old swing and it doesn't work, you can't look back 3 years from now and go, God, I can't understand why that didn't work out for us.
Hey, Dan, back to the day-to-day operations of a team with 4 games to play. Are you concerned at all about the Bears' effort on Monday night from the players' perspective in Minnesota?
I am, and I don't want to say that in a way where it indicts the give a damn of this team. It's more a concern about the emotional fatigue that they've been through over the last 7 weeks and how much more is left in the tank. I think you've kind of heard that all week from guys that have spoke publicly, whether it's a Caleb, whether it's a Cole Kmet, whether it's a Jalen Johnson, starting with you guys the day after the game earlier in the week and continuing yesterday in the locker room. You feel the weight of what's happened inside this building on those players. There's no denying that. And so now they've got to find those reserves of effort to win a football game against an 11-2 football team that's at home. You know, that's not easy to do. And so it's not that they're not going to be trying to give the effort. It's just what's left in the tank. And that's where my concern lies.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you to kind of control for bias. Spiegs and I were looking at the Caleb press conference, and we were sitting there going, you know, the young man looks like the weight of the world is on his shoulders. Now, look, we're not in the room. You're in the room. Is that how you read yesterday?
It wasn't so much that the weight of the world was on his shoulders. It's that he's been truly dizzied by everything that's happened to him, and understandably so. And so, like, I think sometimes I have to stop and remind myself that, again, Caleb just turned 23 years old like 3 weeks ago, you know, and I put myself back in my own 23-year-old shoes and where I was professionally and my ability to handle stress and my ability to channel things in a positive direction. And it wasn't pretty for me. Caleb's doing it a lot better than I did at that age, but there is a very human side to that of trying to figure out, holy crap, what's just happened here? And how do I navigate through it in a way that's productive both for the present and the future? And I think Caleb's trying to figure that all out, and he doesn't have built-in answers. And you heard some of the things he said yesterday about seeking counsel from teammates who have been through this before to try to give him a little bit of a roadmap on, like, how do I go through this? Well, you know, for better or worse, you know, Cole Kmet, who's got a locker stall right next to his, has been through one of these long ass losing streaks every single year of his career. And so he can say, like, this is how I did it as a rookie and I didn't handle it really well. Here's how I did it in year three and it went a little better. Here's how I'm trying it in year five now that we're in the 7-game losing skid. And maybe this is a way to get through a little bit of it. But it certainly felt like a guy, Lawrence, that was trying to figure things out on the fly without ready-made answers.
Age 23, I was making hardware deliveries for Armitage Hardware, 925 West Armitage. I was learning the city, driving all around, delivering hardware, and playing a lot of Tecmo Super Bowl. You, Dan Wiederer, what were you doing at age 23?
I was working at the Naperville Sun out in the western suburbs. I was known as a very high-maintenance young reporter at the time, a little bit of a... couldn't really control my temper at times, got me in a little bit of trouble in my early days.
Did anybody call you a condescending piece of crap while on that job?
That didn't happen until, believe it or not, that didn't happen until several phases later in my career.
Okay.
After I had learned to be a little bit more professional with my demeanor and my behavior.
And still it happened. Tune in at 5:30, everybody, for a special holiday treat. And Lawrence, at 23, I was here. You're here already.
Yeah. I was here working overnights and working on the Walter Payton show.
Unbelievable.
And like Dan, having to work through
some temper issues.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That
would have been interesting if you guys had known each other.
I actually think Dan and I would have been just fine. What would have happened to everyone else? That could have been the problem. I'd have found a kindred spirit in Wiederer. We'd have been here punching people in the face.
Tag team champions of the world.
Like, there's more I could share, but I feel like it's more for a House of L audience than it is for a 4 o'clock score audience.
Noted.
So we can unpack that at another time.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
You wouldn't be the first Bears reporter that I had to talk about my anger issues with. It's a good thing.
I will download that episode.
Weeds, be well, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, yeah, looking forward to get back to Minnesota. You know, it's always nice and cold there at this time of year, but good to visit with some old friends down there.
That's right, Dan's former beat. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I actually think of, you know what's weird? I went to go get my tea and stop off at Robust in Woodlawn before I came in here. And I had been in my coat in the car. I don't ordinarily do that. So I got out the car and I'm like, oh, man, this feels great out here. And I thought just because, and I looked at the temperature, it's like, oh, it is actually warmer today. It's 23.
Yeah.
It feels pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Like 23 in the sun with no wind. I'll sign up for that.
Oh, survivable.
That's fine.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
It's this town, man. It's this town.
It's like, oh, look at this. Unbutton the coat a little bit.
That's shorts weather. That's what that is.
No, we're getting that tomorrow and Sunday, though. I think we're going to be high 40s.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Let's go.
You know what that means?
What?
Shorts and hoodie weather.
That's your favorite right there.
Damn right it is.
Make it so.
It's great.
Everybody in the sports universe has been talking about a terrible, terrible act by a professional athlete last night.
A disgusting act.
That's right. And he didn't even moon the crowd or pretend to moon the crowd.
That guy's on the show on Monday.
Joe Buck will be on this show on Monday. Troy Aikman was on the show yesterday. But
that is a disgusting act.
A football act we must discuss. He's looking like the devil, but we might have a touch of sympathy for him.
Woo, woo.
We'll talk about that. And we'll keep you posted if anything else happens. The Cubs traded for Kyle Tucker today.
Woo, woo.
All kinds of stuff percolating in the middle of a Spiegel & Holmes holiday party show.
Woo, woo.
On the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.